Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 44 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you today from Denmark. Today we'll be going to Ghana and hearing how a Danish project needed to adapt to fit in with the local norms there.
Everything was ready, except there was no students.
Then I'll be talking with Carla Arena, a Brazilian woman living temporarily in the United States, and she'll be giving her impressions of what it was like being a mystery guest for my students through a blog.
The thing is, it's a blogging project, and the idea is to have someone, you invite someone to be your mystery guest.
Welcome especially to those listeners who've been in touch with us, either by mail or through the blog. So let's go absolutely yours and hear from a couple of our listeners. First of all, a big thank you to Grit Matthias, who found show 35, featuring a teacher's use of podcasting, particularly interesting. Grit's class produced their own podcast too. So if you're interested in learning German, you might head on over to the address, which can be found on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, and take a listen to the short podcasts made by Grit's students. Then we got a comment from Drew, one of our regular listeners, in response to one of the pieces in the last show about the Myers-Briggs personality test. What did it have to do with intercultural issues, he asked. Well, it was about making people aware of their communication style, which is a very useful intercultural skill, but I thought I would investigate a little more myself. What I found was that the people behind the system are themselves aware of intercultural issues and have tested the questionnaire across many cultures to make sure that it measures the same aspects. What's more interesting, perhaps, is that they've looked to see if the distribution of different personality types differs across cultures, and have found that it doesn't. So, both the personality types and the distribution of personality types seems to be universal. What is different is the way in which you can express your personality in the different cultures. For example, the way in which introverts are expected to express themselves in the UK means that you find many introvert entrepreneurs, whereas the way in which introverts are expected to express themselves in the US is different, and so you find many more extroverts who are entrepreneurs there. If you want to know more, then you'll have to click on the link on our blog. So, Uncle Drew, not a curmudgeonly question at all, rather an interesting one, in fact. In our main piece today, I'm not going to explain the whys and wherefores for you. What you'll hear is the person telling the story and explaining some of the aspects he came to realise about the situation he describes. If you're familiar with Ghana, you can probably see the story from the other side, and if you do, why not contact us and tell us about your perspective at contact@absolutely-intercultural.com. So let's go absolutely educational and hear about a training project in Ghana.
My name is Jens Højlund, and I work at CVTO call center in Grenaa, Denmark.
Can you tell me a little bit about the project that we had with Ghana some years ago?
We had a third world aid project in Ghana, where we were trying to help out a small private company down there. I think there were about 50 web pages from Ghana at that moment in 99. And we were helping them out with a banking program. Mm-hmm. It was programmed in DOS, and we had to change it into Visual Basic for Windows. And also helped them out with web pages. Teaching their staff was an experience, because we had prepared everything from home, mm-hmm. rented rooms, brought laptops and so on, and we were ready. We landed in the evening and we were ready next morning.
Wow. everything
was ready, except there was no students.
Mm-hmm.
And we started calling around. And during the day, they popped up and said, "Oh, yeah, today, okay." And that was really difficult to cope with, because we've been preparing everything very efficient,
mm-hmm.
and we were just not ready to see the time coming to us instead of in the Nordic culture, the time is always passing.
Yes.
During that week we were down there, we slowly adjusted, but in my point of view, we were half as efficient as we would have been here in Denmark.
In what sense? Do you mean you only got halfway through the material?
Halfway through the material, and we had made a setup where we'd do some distance learning afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they just never attended. And when they attended the distance learning, they wanted to talk about everything else but web pages and Visual Basic and all that. These young programmers, they were not too skilled. It was obvious that they were not ready for education at the level that we presented.
How do you mean at the level that you presented? Do you mean at the pace that you presented?
We were told that they were so and so good. We had resumes on most of them.
Mm.
And we prepared our teaching from their resumes.
Mm.
They had been working with this and this and this and this. And when we started teaching, it was obvious.
Mm.
But they never tried it themselves. So it was back to basics.
Yeah. Can I go back one stage and ask about what sort of contacts did you have before you went out there, and did you meet?
There was a partner search, and they were here first and saw our place.
So they came over here?
They came over here, and we, two from the company down there, and we discussed, and he understood all we said, and we were so impressed, and it was very exotic with Ghana and all that music. Yes, we can do. We can help you. We can help you.
Yeah.
And then we went down there on a partner visit and saw the small rural banks that he was going to make this change this DOS program into Visual Basic. We said, that's an assignment we can take on, and we'll do it. And we met some of his staff and discussed with him. But then he showed us resumes. They've been working with down, all this.
Mm.
Okay. Then we prepared our lectures and went down there. It has to be like that in Ghana, because also when we were teaching, if they had a flash on their mobile phone, they would attempt that. It was more important than education, even though their teacher had been traveling for days to get there.
Mm. But I meet that at the moment. I'm in a company teaching, and it happens to me too.
It's extreme down there, because it was they could go off to solve a problem instead of attending the lesson.
Yes.
And their manager didn't mind.
Mm.
Of course he didn't, because he was more preoccupied with customers than with a long-term investment in their skills.
Mm.
As long as he got his program, he didn't care if they couldn't maintain the program.
Mm. So in the end, do you think that the training was effective, maybe just in part?
In part it was. Mm. And there was certainly some student, some of the staff who wanted more and more and more once they realized what it was.
Mm.
Like we had been sending programs and all kinds of materials down to the manager, but he never passed it on to the staff. That was what we realized when we got there.
Mm.
And confronting him with that, he said, "Oh well, when I experienced it, I saw it as he was short-sighted and not focused."
Mm.
But afterwards, I've been thinking, well, perhaps he was more focused than we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing for him was to get this banking program running.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his main goal.
Yeah.
And he was all the time focused on that.
Yeah.
We put into the project that he should educate his staff, that he should do this and that and all that, so that he could have a long-term business.
Mm.
He wasn't interested at all.
We'll be returning to Jens later when he talks about the insights he gained from the project. Now let's go absolutely interactive and find out if blogs can have an intercultural flavour. The topic came up when I talked with Trine Maria Christensen, a corporate communications expert, earlier this year.
I think a lot of corporations need to know more about it. So I think that a lot of corporations, even though they might, you know, don't want to start their own blog, then they still need to just find out that it's there, and maybe they should have a strategy for how to handle it if all of a sudden people start writing about them in blogs.
I'm wondering if blogging is actually very, very American. I wonder about that, because I've been trying to evangelize about blogs in education for years now. I begin to wonder if it's it's maybe something cultural, and maybe in Europe we're not ready to blog, although the French seem to.
I think it's more of a paradigm shift. I mean, the hard thing about blogging is that you have to look at the users or the consumers as something else than users and consumers. You have to see them as participants, and you have to have some kind of mutual respect. So if you start a corporate blog, then you also, you know, acknowledge that the people out there, they actually have some knowledge that you need, and you can actually learn from them. And I think that is the core problem here, is that companies are not ready to acknowledge that the knowledge society is also outside. So I think, yeah, I think it's, you're absolutely right that it's a cultural thing. As I see it, it's not about being American or being Danish. I mean, last year, January month, we had 3,000 Danish bloggers, and in December we had 30,000 Danish bloggers. So don't tell me that Danish people don't want to blog.
Okay.
You know, there's really an explosion in the number, but of course people are using it for private things. You know, they start a private blog, start blogging about their life, not about their work or their knowledge.
Okay, so that's why I have a problem, because I'm trying to get teachers to use blogs in their classrooms, you see.
And I think a lot of teachers, they're not ready to let go of the authority. I mean, if they start blogging, then they also start saying that, well, we're having a dialogue here, and I could be wrong and you could be right, and you could fact check my stuff, and you could, you know, correct me when I'm wrong. And I think a lot of teachers, they're not ready for that. And also, most teachers that I meet, they're really not very IT skilled at all, and they're very afraid of anything.
In show number 42, we heard from Carla Arena, a Brazilian English teacher who is an enthusiastic user of blogs to make intercultural contacts for students. This time, Carla's talking about what it was like to be a mystery guest on a blog I had set up for some of my students.
The thing is, it's a blogging project. And the idea is to have someone, you invite someone to be your mystery guest. So this person will collaborate with you on a blog, and this mystery guest will introduce himself or herself, but not saying who he or she really is or what he or she does. And then after a while, the students ask questions, interact, the mystery as keeps giving feedback and answering and giving all types of clues. And at a certain point, the mystery guest reveals him or herself. That's the idea of the project. And by doing that, we have this motivation element for the students. We try to engage them in something that it's fun, but at the same time, they are learning about a different culture, and they are using English or any other language to communicate. So this is the main idea of the project. I had the experience of inviting a friend to be the mystery guest with my group. And with your group, it was even more exciting, because then I was the mystery guest. And it was fun. So first, I gave them some hints about where I came from, who I was, but I didn't really tell them. I just gave them some hints. And they kept trying to guess who I was. They asked me questions, and as it developed, I started to tell a little bit more about me, and I gave, when they had the correct idea about myself, I would tell them. But the funny thing was that they invented a name for me, and it was really funny. I am Carla, and then they called me Rosalina. I love that. And then I kept finishing my post saying that I was Rosalina, and it was really great. But the main thing that I really loved about this project is by the end, I recorded a voice message, really now revealing myself and stuff. And then the fact that they added images, they used the web to create all that, you know, photo slide, was really great. They record your voices. They had the photos about different places and about themselves. So this makes learning a visual thing. I could visualize that. They could visualize as they were preparing the slideshow. So I thought it was really interesting, and I'm sure that they learned a lot from that.
Yeah, and it was very exciting for me as well, because I've never tried that sort of project before. So I was very interested to know how they would take to it. I was worried at first that they would think it was me. Yeah, in the end, I think they were very keen to tell you about Denmark. So it could well be that you learned more about Denmark than they learned about Brazil.
But I think this is great. And something that I forgot to mention in these projects, anybody involved will learn about other countries, but also the ones involved will learn about their own culture, their own identities. It's like a reflection about what you really are, what your country is all about, you know. So this, I think, is a great moment, you know, because then it's learning about different cultures and about your own culture. And this is great.
And of course, you can find a link to the blog Carla was talking about on our own blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Now let's return to Jens and the Ghana project. What did he learn from it? So would you do a similar project again?
Yes.
And what would you do differently in a similar project?
I would calculate twice the amount of hours to put into the project.
Mm.
I would go about it in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
I would really use my partner visit. I would really get to know the man and really get to know the staff and be very critical in the number of persons that should be involved and how much training you should do.
Yeah.
And perhaps much more aware of what kind of status the different things have. Like, it might have been better to invite some of his staff to us up here,
because
a travel up here has much more status than going to a class down there where nobody else attends. You cannot brag about an education that nobody knows you've done.
Mm.
But if you have a flying ticket to Denmark, then...
Yeah. What about the online part after you had left Ghana? How did that go?
The online part was in between the sessions down there.
I see.
It just didn't work.
Was there no contact between the students and the staff here?
They didn't have proper internet at the time.
Ah, so that was a problem.
We saw internet working down there, and we saw the internet at this company working.
Mm.
But they weren't there. They were out at the customers, and when they got home in the evening, they didn't have any internet.
Mm.
So they didn't really have any chance.
But there was some contact, some online contact.
Some.
Yeah.
But I cannot tell today whether it was an excuse or a real problem with the internet. But at the end of the day, we could just see that they hadn't been logged on to the calls.
Mm.
I think the situation today is different, because there's much more stable internet connection.
Mm.
Also, we had online was very new in Ghana at the moment in 1999. These youngsters, the young staff, like 18, 20, they were preoccupied with many other things than being online.
Not so different from other 18-year-olds.
No.
You can find all the links relating to the people featured in this show at our own blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, and you can add a comment yourself to the show notes, for example, if you have more insights on the Ghana story. The next show will be coming to you from Germany and will be rather musical, so stay tuned, won't you?
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.